Now pray for Pastor Banky. Call him blessed. The Bible said, until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. He said, you will lie in desolation and in ruins. It is wisdom to call the man of God blessed. For your own life's sake, call him blessed. The words that he speaks unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He speaks unto me, they are spirit and they are life. I receive those words. Grace to walk with those words. Because I have come to the table of love. This place, God has sent me here this evening to receive my own word. I will not lose that word. I will be attentive to that word. The word will be life unto my being. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And as it comes, I know my whole being is being wired. Life enters into me. Life, eternal life abideth in me. I lay hold on eternal life. I lay hold on it. I lay hold on eternal life. I lay hold. I prosper by the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We have come this evening. Lord, bless us once again. Just as you have proposed. For in Jesus' most wonderful name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord.
All right. The Lord is good. Yeah, welcome once again to today's School of Prayer. We believe that God has heard our prayers that we have been praying. And we believe that he has a word that is specially prepared for each one of us. If you believe that, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, because we are going to study it a bit, let's just take a declaration of understanding as we begin to study. All right, are you ready for that?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's take it one to let's go. Now I declare.
The Lord
has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I've been filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, I'm pleasing him in all respects, I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. All right, good evening, everybody. Okay, let's talk a bit, and then we'll pray as a result of the instructions that we are going to be hearing. Jesus told the parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to get tired. They are not to lose strength. They are to ensure that they are always praying. And what's the reason? Well, one reason is because there's no help for us anywhere apart from God. There is no help anywhere apart from in the Lord. Only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Please, if you need money, pray. Don't depend on end of the month. Did you hear what I said? Don't fix your eyes on the end of the month. If you have a need, pray about it. Don't just assume that's not a problem. Nothing is a problem only because God is bigger. Not because, you know, the other day some people woke up in the morning, their banks are closed. I didn't know banks stay closed in this country. I didn't know it did happen, but a few weeks ago, and I said they are going to refund everybody that has less than a certain amount. And yesterday I saw the news that they had done 82.5% of everybody that had less. But I said, okay, what about those who have more? Let's hope one day they will get their money. On this earth, you know what Jesus said? Don't lay up treasure. You know why? Now, it's not the laying up treasure I'm talking about now. It's the reason. He said, because moth destroys, thieves break in and steal. When a bank collides on your money and you don't get it back, it's thieves breaking in and stealing. Moth destroys, that one is inflation. If you saved up a millionaire 5 years ago, it can't buy half of what you bought that time now. And it's not only in Nigeria, it's all over the world. Anytime I'm reading, listening to some things or reading, they say this happened in there. This guy spent $500,000 in 1972. Said so that is, they'll tell you of the dollar of today. Today that is $10.2 million of today. I said, oh, so if you kept $500 in the bank then, as at now, it's not even worth up to $100,000. It's normal. It's life. It's what Jesus called thieves breaking in and stealing. The point I'm making is that you can't have confidence in anything in this life. Train yourself like that. Okay? If God chooses to use the end of the month to solve that particular problem, fine. But next month, don't keep your eyes on that. Men ought always to pray. Always. Concerning everything. Don't assume anything in this life. The only help we have is in God. That's one reason why when I see Christians do some things, I say, do you know where your help comes from? Psalm 121 tells us, will I lift up my eyes to the hills? Is that where my help will come from? I said, no. Where does my help come from? From the Lord. That is why I don't have time to be marching the streets demanding anything from the government. They need my prayer. I hope you're getting my point. They need prayer. I can't be demanding that you should help me because you are the government. You need help too. Christians learn how to protest effectively. What is Christian protest? It's inside church. What is Christian protest? Gathering to pray. And I don't mean pray show, you know, show prayer, you know. Yeah, you know what I mean. You know, that time we were doing answers. So after they finish the university, they are doing prayer. I see them under the bridge in Lagos. Kaya baba, ya baba. Tongues, I mean. Lord, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. As I'm right here, I'm disobeying you. It's confession of sin. Or it means nothing. Yeah. That's not what they call. It's not prayer. I said, look, that's protest. Let's not deceive ourselves. If you want to pray, go into your closet. Since you are not the only person, the church has closet, which is just close the door. I hope you're getting my point. Just, brethren, let us gather and pray. Now, the reason is because our help comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from anywhere else. It doesn't come from anywhere else. We have to train ourselves to trust in the Lord. A sign that we are trusting in Him is that we are praying. I hope you're getting my point. Yes, it is crucial. So it says men ought always, it told them a parable to the end that they ought always to pray and not to get tired. Let me say this again before I get to the main thing I want to say. If anybody tells you we have prayed enough, he has joined the satanic camp. Somebody made a joke. I said, you would just like to be mocking holy things. I didn't find it funny. They showed this, you know, Olympics that just ended. Is it yesterday or today? I don't know which day it ended. And now say, you know, they tried to, it was mocking the nation. You saw the joke? So everybody saw it. I think it was a newspaper or something. And I think it was on one of my friends' status update. So first, number one, number two, they pick some countries. I said, let Nigeria come and say the opening, closing prayer for us. I said, Father, I thank you. At least we are known for that. And all those who mock it will cry one day if they're not careful. Yes. We'll be mocking the things that are sustaining them. And be envying those who are going to hellfire. That's how they were laughing at Lazarus. With all your prayer, you're a beggar at the door of the rich man. That's what is that not how they were laughing at Lazarus? If your prayer was working, what are you still doing begging? Results, terminating source. If it's working, you have to have something to show. Results, terminating insult. He said, you are praying, you are still a beggar. Oh, come on. Doesn't work like that. You know what we are doing? Talking nonsense. David said, then I beheld their end. I entered into the temple and I beheld their end. Okay, if you're laughing at Lazarus, where are you now? You are burning somewhere. And Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom. Many times, I'm going to get that to the main thing I want to say. We don't know the main thing God is doing in our lives. And I keep on telling people, see, you don't even know you are competing or you are comparing. Let me not use the word compete. You are comparing yourself with somebody who you don't know his history or his destiny. So he didn't pray. This is why, look at where he is now. Do you know whether his father prayed? Do you know whether his mother prayed? Do you know whether your own prayers or your children? What nonsense would tell me? Please never, I don't find it funny. People try to mock prayer. I don't laugh. It's not funny. I dislike nonsense prayer. But prayer as a concept, I am not ashamed of it. People just be, no, please, young people, don't let anybody just, you know, not tell you that, look, do they pray in Japan? Who cares? Who cares? Do I look like I care? Because you see, we think that everything we are pursuing is on this earth.
This earth that if Russia and America smoke too much, they will bomb each other and kill each other and half of the globe with them. And render the surviving part of the globe ineffective and useless for anything good. What's all the noise? If they don't play in Japan, I said, hey, so? So they don't play in Japan, so what now happened? They are developed. I think my prayer is for development. Don't you realize that this earth will be burnt up entirely one day? Don't you know everything will be tried with fire? Let's see whether your lack of prayer, what it produced, can stand the intense heat of the coming of the Lord. Can it stand it? Why would we like to glorify rubbish? They don't pray. Let's even go. Do you know? See, people who don't pray, they are generally very miserable people. See, no matter what you give them outside, they will be miserable inside. It's the law of God. If they have laughter, it's very temporary. Please, I don't mean to yap anybody. I'm just using it as an illustration. I said the other day, they rated the joys in the hearts of people. And said number two, worst place to be happy on this earth. That is like the most miserable people. They had the miserable index. And they put UK as the second most miserable place on the earth. You want to know why? One major reason. That the fathers prayed, the grandfathers prayed, the children said, we won't pray. And you want to see, it's a matter of fact. Anybody who doesn't pray, that is you are going to be miserable. That's the direction you are going. That's a fact of life. I'm not trying to mock anybody, any country, but nobody should make a mockery of prayer and you find it funny, because it's not funny. Ask my wife, I ask her almost every other day. I said, those who don't pray, how do they manage? How do they manage? Oh, how? Because honestly, if I didn't know the Lord, see, let me just leave it like that. I won't say more than that. Because me, every little thing, I don't dive. You know what I'm trying to say? To the Lord about it. No matter how small, I have to tell the Lord about it. This matter, I will go help him. I will solve it. If we don't know how to solve, say, Lord, just handle this thing. Those who don't pray that, they will die of too much thinking. You know? Yes. Just wake up during the night thinking. You wake up in the morning thinking. You go to sleep thinking. You can't sleep? How can you sleep? We ought always to pray and not to get tired. Please, I just need to remind us of that once in a while. Now, what I just want to say briefly today, okay, is one. Just want to redirect, nothing new. Of course, we teach about these things again and again. What do we do with prayer? That's a major issue. What do we do with prayer? What do we do? What's our focus? Please let me say it again. It's a tragedy when we gather in church and our prayer is always about things that do not cross the boundary of eternity. Do you follow my point? It's a tragedy. I saw one teaching somebody shared with me this morning. It was a very nice one. Let me see whether I can quickly access it. And he was explaining about what he called the, in fact, I had to share with some brethren. He called it the unclaimed scriptures. I don't know how many people have seen that teaching. It was shared with me by a colleague of mine. Unclaimed verses. What he meant by unclaimed is that if you take a typical Christian's book, those are when we used to use paper Bibles, and we used to shade Bibles. I still shade my own electronic Bible. I hope your own allows you to shade, or if you have to go, let all of them allow you to shade. Go and learn how to highlight it, okay? Mm-hmm. So those were used to shade Bibles. He said you pick people's Bibles, and there are so many scriptures that, of course, like now, I'm looking at this stuff. Yes, that these verses that people typically shade, they've highlighted it for themselves. There are verses that proclaim the promises of God with respect to long life, good health, triumph over enemies, victory over the powers of darkness, prosperity, marriage, children, healing, success in exams, securing good employment, deliverance from difficult situations and all of that. He said there's nothing wrong in claiming these verses, but on a deeper level, serious problems emerge. So the first that pops up is the fact that most, if not all, these promises deal with things in this present life. So you pick Christian Bibles, it's all shaded.
highlighted. So he now decided to highlight some, you know, in fact, let me just read this portion and not change the other ones he highlighted. He said, therefore, in this discourse, we shall consider some of those unpopular promises in little or hardly known verses of the Bible. The truth hidden in plain sight is that, now listen to this, the truth hidden, he says, in plain sight, is that welcoming and embracing those hard promises usually opens the doors to the blessings much sought after by the majority and reduces the appeal of those earthbound preoccupations. That is, if we focus, and they said, do you get the logic here? There are all kinds of promises in the scriptures. We focus on those ones that have to do with this current life. And he said, look, let's look at the other ones. For example, he gave us one. From Matthew chapter 16, said, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? He said, most people, their Bible's area is not colored. He went on and on. There are so many. I'm not reading everything here. But let me just reiterate what I said earlier. He said, the truth hidden in plain sight is that welcoming and embracing those hard promises usually opens the doors to the blessings much sought after by most people. And then also reduces the appeal by those earthbound preoccupations. What I'm trying to bring out is this, all right? This is what I'm trying to bring out. That when we are praying, those verses tend to also be what? Our preoccupation. So people gather and pray, you know, in their thousands. What are the things they are claiming? These things that don't have to do with eternity. And I want to just remind us again, it's one reason why we think prayer doesn't work. Do you know, if you use prayer to handle your anger, you'll be surprised. It works. If you use prayer to handle your character flaws, you'll be amazed that God does miracles. Yes, but we don't focus. That's what the issue is. We don't focus. Okay, what I want to talk about today, all right? Let me just get, I may not stick with this title at the end, but this is what I had in mind, how to be salt. Okay? All right? And Jesus made something clear to us, that salt can lose its savor or saltiness. It can. A salt can be corrupted. That is a type, of course. Salt can be corrupted. So it now says, let your salt be pure. So you have an assignment to make sure that your salt is not corrupted. And how do you do that? That's what we're talking about, praying. Now let me talk quickly about salt. This is very important. Now a lot of people disagree with me on this, Christians, I mean, and unbelievers, because once in a while I talk to people who are unbelievers. And unfortunately, those who I don't even try to persuade, they can't be persuaded. I told you I have a classmate that said, our leaders, I said, my friend, keep quiet. You are too old to say that. You get to a level in life, you can't see our leaders anymore. Do you get my point? Like in civil service. They say they are going on strike. They break the law every time. They don't understand that above a particular cadre, you are considered management staff and you can't go on strike. Oh, yes. So if they declare a strike, the law assumes that you are going to come to work to oversee things when the striking people who are generally junior to you. Yes, the level you get to, you are considered the people they are striking against. You are part of it. Okay? So I told my friend, I said, listen, my friend, you should know you are too old to be seeing our leaders. Whether you occupy political office or not, you are already one of the leaders. It's not about, look, you are one of them. And one of my classmates said something that's very funny. When he said, you know, they need the big revolution. He said, listen, my friend, you are talking. He said, to the common man, you are part of the problem. When that revolution starts, they are coming after you. He said, look, you are here. Yeah. He kept on telling them, he said, look, guys are making a lot of noise. You don't realize how the average person sees people like you on the road. But they are so preoccupied with the people in power. And they don't know that the day where Allah started, people have been looking at you driving up and down. And they've decided that you are one of those in power. And if they catch you, and it'll be good for you, actually. Now, the point I'm making is that, see, people like to point fingers. You understand? So I have arguments with people all the time. And they don't realize
that the way God sees it, let me just go back this briefly, all right, is that the problem is not the people in power. In a place like Nigeria, I can assure you of that. I live in this country, and I can assure you of that. Let me quickly drop one small one. They say the colonial masters. I said no. If they didn't come to this continent, we won't be here today. All have happened. They say we had this Kanem Bornu Empire, we had the old Oyo Empire, we had this one. I said they will have fought each other and killed each other. That's what we do. After they were slave traders who never left the shores, where they get slaves from? We went to the next village and took the young men and young women of that village and walked across the shore and sold. And you think if they didn't come and tell us, okay, let me give an example. If Madam Mary Slessor didn't come, do you know how many children that will be dead? You are telling, I mean, let's not. See, when God is showing you mercy, you understand? You'll be there abusing the person he used. He brought stability, as far as I'm concerned. They brought stability to generations of people. You may not, of course, God didn't say that, look, they are very righteous people. He just said, look, I need them to help me keep this place until Banky comes. Did you catch what I said? But I say that about yourself, right? Because God said, look, yeah, because I learned their language. Am I teaching you now in Swahili? Do you get what I say here? All right? The real problem in every society is people. That's the real problem. We like to, you know, make our leaders scapegoats. But the real problem in every society is the people. So the solution, now please, let me not stay on that. The solution that God brings must address the people problem. Did you catch my point?
Yes, sir.
The solution that God brings must address the people problem. That is, what is wrong with the people? That is where the problem... See, no nation will change until the people change. It's not possible. One day, one of my classmates, you know, a good Christian man, all right, very good friend of mine, he said, Bank, what you are trying to say is there's no hope. I said, you thought there was hope? I told him, I said, of course. I said, there's no hope now. You thought there was hope? I said, there's no hope. I said, why do you think, because he's a good friend and supports our work and all of that. I said, why do you think I preach? That's what I told him. I said, why do you think I preach? I said, there's no other hope apart from the preaching of the gospel. If you are looking for hope elsewhere, I said, it does not exist. I said, change these leaders 1 million times. If you don't change the people, nothing good is going to happen. I said it before, you know, just to make a point. What we need, I said, what you need is not what you are saying. We need constant power. We need a government. I said, if Jesus is the head of state today, he can't do it. I was saying that before, all right? And the principle is still correct, all right? I said, why? Something led to it, all right? I said, because what is required to do what you are saying is not available. Not natural resources, though. It's people. I said, because if he gets up and tells you under the political system that we operate right now, what did it take for him to give you constant power? He said, you know what he will do? He will say, away with him. I said, Jesus, I said, wait. When he went to his hometown, could he do mighty works? No, answer me. Could he do mighty works?
Yes.
That's in Mark chapter 6. He couldn't do anything. So people say, ha, you don't know Jesus. I don't know him true. I read about him in his book. I hope you're getting my point. And in his book, he went to his hometown. He didn't even go to Nigeria. He just went to his hometown. He didn't go to his state. A small town. And he could not do any mighty work. So I said, producing constant power for a nation like this, you think it's my work? Brethren, it is mighty work. If you couldn't do it then, who told you can do it now? But the Bible gave us the reason. What's the reason? Because of their unbelief. Small digression. That is why I'm very, very careful. I try my best not to introduce unbelief into the air for those who are leading the nation. I try. If they say they want to do something, I say amen. Some say, hey, that's not the only thing. They will never do it. I say, this is why they will never do it. It's because of you. The willingness will be there, but they will not know why something just won't go right. And what is the reason? It's because of people like you. When most of them say, they can't do it. This is what they always say. So what happens? They won't know, something just frustrates them. Now because we are running political politics now, 4 years is over, 8 years max, the guy is out of power, And then he sits down and looks back at what he wanted to do. Let me not start because I don't get into political talk. I start counting some major things people wanted to do. And people did not agree for it to be done. That's just the way it works. So God does not change. Look, a nation cannot change unless you, one way or the other, manage what they call a revival. There has to be. If there's no outbreak of revival, forget that thing. Which is why the church should stop this nonsense of getting involved. You know, political time, they are choosing candidates. They are networking. What's your problem? You should know that everything there is. I'm not saying don't vote. You should vote. But that's not your strength. If the church belongs to any political party, that church has lost for the next 4 years. I know people don't like when I say it, but I will say it. You know why? Truth is not always popular. No, the church is not... because you can't. You can't. Your help doesn't come from APC, doesn't come from PDP, does not come from Labour Party, does not come from MAPGA, does not come from NNPP. It doesn't come from there. The change comes only when people... So what the church should be focusing on... Now listen to this. Every political season, the church should be focusing on what? Revival. Now, I'm going to my message. Revival does not start outside. It's not by printing billboards. You know how revival starts? Actually, the world is not really... How do I say it now? Revival is a church thing. You don't revive people that were not alive. Do you get my point? Revive is you were alive, but you fell asleep or you became unconscious and stuff like that. So revival is a church thing. If the church is fully revived, then the fire in the church can now spread through apostolic and evangelical work into the rest of the nation. You have to do that persistently. Otherwise, frustration will be your portion, year in, year out. Your primary focus for a nation like ours and any nation of this earth is not economic development. It's not. It's not. It's not constant, power. It's not good roads. It's not, no. Your primary concern should be the outbreak of the truth of God spreading all over the land. What you want is evangelism to move, that souls will be saved. It doesn't sound nice, though. It sounds very, very what? Very archaic. Give me another word. Very conservative. That you say souls, souls, souls. Right? Don't like it, but you know the fact? That is what you need. I'm saying that's a matter of fact. But good enough. Yeah, my progress is good. I like the way it's going. So I said the revival is first of all where? In the church, yes. Remember I said how to be salt. Something like that's what I'm talking about. Now, when we're talking about covenants, we mentioned something. That God always gives himself reasons to do something. Let me give an example now. The earth was created so that God could produce the new man. People that are like himself. That's why he made this earth. The primary aim of God was to make man in his image. And please, time. This is not our focus now. I want to quickly rush through something. So, he's making man in his image. When the first Adam was made, he was like a template. And that man would become exactly like what God wants him to be through interaction. That's why God used to come and sit with him in the cool of the day. And then he would talk with him and the man would change. And then one day when he has become exactly what God made him to be, he will tell him, now you can eat of the tree of life, and they will have lived forever as a perfect man. A perfect image of the Son. You know the story. Did that happen? No. Satan came, tricked them, they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which generally was saying that we're not following the path of God, we want to follow our own path. Okay? Now, for that to now be corrected, it didn't take God as a surprise. It needed to happen. Jesus had to come and then we'll reset the process. Now, listen to this. The earth was created for that process, right? You know what God knew will happen? Before Jesus will come, they will sin so much, he will destroy the earth. So he did something. He destroyed the earth one time and then bound himself by promise in a covenant with Noah. And said, I won't do this again. You know what? He knew the provocation would come. Then he would remember Noah and keep the place. That's the way it works. He knew the provocation would come. That's what covenants are for. Always trying to bind himself into something. The covenant with Abraham, the same thing. That bound him into something else. The coming of the Son. All right? Now, so this is what God does. He says, now this earth, what will happen is that they will mess it up again. I need to have a reason not to destroy it. So you establish a principle. Anytime there's earth, there must be what? Salt. What's the job of the salt? To make sure that I don't destroy it. When I destroy everybody that's there, that's not working in the righteousness that I instituted. So Jesus warned, pulled our ears, and said what? You are the salt of the earth. Listen, if your country will survive, it will be because of you. If there will be no... I think I can give this as a testimony. You know this last... You know there was answers. I tell that story. And you know what happened with answers? We said, come. The horsemen came. And then they did all the damage that they did. So when we started hearing this noise again... In fact, before I went somewhere... I had my fellowship, the Senior Citizens Fellowship. One man came. He was leading prayer that day. And he said some things... Like, I didn't even know this was happening. So when he raised up the matter in prayer, that we should pray that this should not happen. I followed up with it also. I was on preaching. I talked about it. Everywhere here, I spoke about it. We raised it up in prayer here. I said, what happened that time? We will not agree for it to happen. You want to laugh? One guy said, why there was no protest in the East? I said, stop lying. He said, because we protested, just that we invented it at home. I said, no, we did not invent it at home. When some people made us sit at home by force for some time, we're not happy to do it. They don't lie. We did not sit at home this time around. The first day, we waited to see whether in our madness could reach this side. When we saw it was not going to reach, next day, we went to work. And we ignored the rest of you. That was all we did. I said, but you know the real reason? I'll tell you, this one, like I said, it's a testimony. It's because people gathered here and said, no. That's the real reason. So now this is what I think. You can disagree. The epicenter of that no was where the spirit of peace came from. From here we spread it around. And we continue to pray. And despite what some people thought would happen, in fact, day 10, all the news, the newspaper headlines, they said there would be a 1 million man march. And there was a 15 man march or something in various places. See, this is not natural. They are spiritual. It's because we said, no. No to this nonsense destruction of lives and property. And the much that they saw in certain places, you know what I think? I heard one man talk, and this is a man of God. A big man of God. He was 100% in support of protests, and these people were in post-coffee, said they are denying people their rights to speak. I said, pastor or prophet, this is not good. Like I say, you know the guy. Two of you go to the same church. Yeah, I'm looking at that with suspicion. Oh, Steve-O say nine guy. I said, it's when you welcome these horsemen that they come in. If you said no, they wouldn't come in. And what is the point anyway? Is this where your help is coming from? I'm talking about salt of the earth. Because if there will be stability, it will be because of you. Because I need to remind you of that's why I'm going with this whole talk. I like the way the pro is progressing. If there will be stability, now, the primary aim of God, let's get it clear, is not good road. Because when Jesus comes back, it will melt. That's why you know that in our quota. It will melt. I like your house, it's beautiful. But did you use metal to reinforce the concrete? It will melt. That's what he does. He has to remove this old, you know, some people say that they will inherit the houses in GRA and in Asokoro. Look, it's not necessary. All of them are going. Both the houses in the slums and the ones in the highbrow areas, they will all go. Banana Island will disappear. The palms in Dubai will disappear. Eco Atlantic is going away. That's what Jesus does. I hope you're getting my point. He will make a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness will dwell. By the way, when you see what that place is like, there's nothing you've seen here that will impress you. Fact. I hope you're getting my point. That's just the way it works. So everything physical, of course, will pass away. I was making a point. What's the point I was making? The primary aim of God, thank you, is not this physical earth. God would rather have a wilderness life, nomadic life, and produce an Abraham. Yes, he would rather have a wilderness life, a nomadic life, and produce an Abraham. than have people gather in beautiful cities, and the place is called Babylon, and they are there trading the souls of men. Let me tell you something about comfort and natural beauty. It's very, very dangerous. It can be seductive, take you away. There's a reason why Demas was kept in our scriptures. When I was in Oka, somebody asked a question. I said, why do people like to misquote me? That obviously I don't like people relocating abroad. I said, me. Why do you go and be blaming me for things I never said? When did I say it? People just hear half of what you said. After all, somebody came to Enugu one time. I said, I heard I help people get visa to go abroad. He came to see me. Yes, he did. Who remembers? Where's the Reverend? That day, I like, what? Somebody told you that? He came all the way from Suka. We were having a program. So he said, when is he, Pastor Banke? They said, what is it? That I hear that he arranges for people to go abroad. Yes. So I said, maybe somebody was playing a joke on him. Yeah, maybe they were. Maybe they were playing a joke on this guy. Anyway, somebody asked me that. I said, me? When did I ever say that? What I've always said is one thing, which is what? Your life has a purpose, and comfort cannot drive you up and down. That's all I've ever said. It is your conscience that's interpreting it the way you're interpreting it. What I've always said is simple. So, like one brother asked me, was a young guy, young doctor, came to see me about some things, helped me out with some stuff those days. And I said, after now, finishing NYC, he's traveling abroad. And I said, okay, is it school, is it work, or what is the motivation? So you see, I believe that in this life I must get the best. And I told him, I wasn't criticizing him, I just told him, that's where you and I differ. I said, in this life, I must give the best. I must give everything I'm supposed to give. There's something that's buried inside me. It must come out fully. Because there is an eternity in which I will enjoy the best you have never imagined. Fact. That is what I've always said to people. Please, people stop misquoting me. And I say that your physical environment does not decide what your life will end up being like. You can't predict where you are standing now will be tomorrow. You cannot. Don't be stupid. Okay. Now, Ukraine. Just 4 years ago, was it not a nice place to go? Didn't everybody run away from there? Nigerians were living in Libya those days. But there's one guy, I think he's Tory Reverend's friend. He said, remember your guy, the Libyan guy? Said to you, now if you take him there, he will show you where he buried dollars in his wall. Is that not what he told you? He was doing them, I think, a satellite TV business. Yeah. When the mob, he was coming home when he looked and saw a mob had gathered around his house. Yes, he knew that they were going to lynch him as a black man. So from there he ran. Everything he labored for, he left inside that house. And he had a lot of cash. So if the house was not destroyed, he said he can take you there. The hidden place where... Has he gone back to look for his money? Yeah. His money is still there. Okay, he'll be praying for the peace of that country because... Say, God, if you can just give us peace, I give you half. He'll go there. God, if you can give us peace, I give you half. Yeah, seriously. That's it. From there, he ran. Anyway, he finally arrived home with nothing. Came to build his life up again. That's what I say. Please, nobody stop. People should stop misquoting me. People should stop misquoting me. You say you said what you did not say. Was I born in Enugu? Come to Enugu, it's not a relocation. I jackpot all over the country from Ondo State to Edo State. Well, now there was Bendel, then Edo State, from there to Taraba State to Lagos State. I just be jackpotting up and down. Finally, Tabernacle here. But if you ask me each of these, what took you there, I will tell you. University took me to Edo State. NYC took me to Taraba State. Then God, because he didn't know how else to carry me to Lagos, there was nothing. I just twisted my life. I woke up one day, I was in Lagos. It's a long story. I served in the Nigerian Army. So we had some issues with my pay and all of that. They said, okay, I should go to Lagos, to the Nigerian Army headquarters there. So I went to Defense Headquarters. That's why I went. While waiting to sort it out, I was in Lagos. Finally, I got a call from where I wanted to go that I couldn't come. That's why I was stuck there for the next 8 years. Until the time that his word came. And the word of the Lord sent me to Enugu. And I came to Enugu for one primary purpose. To do what we are doing this evening. People of God, that's what I say. And I'm saying that if you pray, and you've heard me say, I say if it's Australia, God say you will get to, you will find yourself there. But don't go and say, Lord, I like the road in Australia, I shall go there. He said, this is Demas. That's a Demas spirit. My friends, where are abroad? I see the way they are spending money. Nobody was called to spend money like that. I hope you get my point. Yeah, I get it all the time. I talk. Say, when they come from abroad, they'll be spending. I say, let me hear what. Spending is not my problem. I hope you get my point. It's not the reason. I told you then, my mom asked me one day, say, your friends, your mates are living in their houses now. I said, how many of them are preaching the word of God on radio? It was a straight answer. How much you are spending doesn't bother me. The house you are living in is not my problem. I said, are you doing what I'm doing? There's one blessing God gave me. He said, it's lovely. Almost everywhere I go, people will stop me and tell me, sir, you don't know what God has used you to do in my life. And I'm meeting a person for the first time. You think you can buy that for US dollars? Some people say, after that, how much? No, that is the end. That is the end. That is the end of it. That is not after that, how much? What, are you crazy? You mean not after how much? No, I get this thing that is so often. But I don't take it for granted, you know. Anytime I hear it, I give the Lord praise and I thank him from the bottom of my heart. Yes, I do. Please, that is what I preach. Don't misunderstand me. The Lord is good. How did you now get to that now? What God is looking for, all right, is not the temporal thing. The Bible says the Lord's portion is his people. Israel is the allotment of his inheritance. What does that mean? If you look at the whole globe, look at all the resources, the diamonds, the gold, all right? Now, these days, things like lithium, you know, they're important now because of batteries and electric cars and stuff. Huh? All right? It's true. Those are very important now. So, the lithium all over the world. The hydrocarbons. Let's not forget petroleum and all of that. The metal, the ores, everything. Look at the whole globe. And then look at the billions of people that have lived. Okay, before we get to the people, let's talk about the animals. The cattle on a thousand hills. All the fish or the fishes in the oceans. All the crops, all the things. Think about all of them. And now think about the people on the earth. Now, put all of this together. Think about the natural resources. Then the plant and animal resources. Then now think about the human resources. Say, God, which is all your own? He now looks among all of this and picks only the believers. Say, this is my portion. I don't care about the mountains. I don't care about the hills. I don't care about the hydrocarbons. I don't care about anything. What I just want is my people. So each time we are going out is to get the lost portion for him. You know what I found out? One day, this earth will end. Now, I may be wrong, okay? But it's much closer than many people think. Now, what I want to say is funny, right? When I saw Zelensky get the idea and the boldness to invade into Russia, I was not comfortable. I don't know about you, if you have been following news, I'm like, Zele, what's going on here? I was looking at Zele, what's going on? I mean, like, how can all the while I've been wondering why they didn't do it, but I understood why they didn't do it. But now I think the guy has got like, look, man, let me spoil everything. Because they asked Vladimir Putin long ago, are you going to use tactical nuclear weapons? He said, if Russia's territorial integrity is threatened, you get my point. You get my. You understand my point? Because when I said, they moved 30 something kilometers into Russia. Not a small thing. They have this duo of dive soldiers who are ready to die doing it. They pushed 30 kilometers into Russia. They want to take the fight away from their own territory, which makes a lot of sense if you don't have tactical nuclear weapons on the other side. That would have made a lot of sense, but so I'm now wondering, well, I'm just wondering. Now that the U.S. and Israel, they are getting ready for Iran and the Hezbollah people in Lebanon saying that they won't be left behind. And they must end that fight. And somebody wants to protest in Nigeria. Warn yourself, because where do you want people to go to when, you know, America has sent a nuclear warship, you know, to one side. A nuclear submarine, sorry. They've sent a submarine now to go and hang around the Middle East. Just hang around there and just be rolling around, you know. I said, now, wow. One madman. Do I need to say more than that? And what looks like they can do is exactly what how God said this earth will come to an end. Yeah, it's a blazing fire. You heard before that the amount of nuclear warheads then, I don't know about now, they stayed them down for some time, but decided to build them up recently. Those, they say, could destroy the whole earth 50 times over. To wipe out the whole earth, wipe it out 50 times over. That existed while I was at the university. See, even if you did not believe the scriptures, just look around. You will see what Jesus said made a lot of sense. The point I'm making, let me not forget it. This earth is coming to an end. I don't know when, but that it will come to an end, no doubt. What I want to emphasize is that there's going to be a new earth. It's going to happen. Now listen to the other part of it. Only those, this is not church preaching, no. This is fact. Only those who will qualify for a resurrection body can live there. So if you are not a believer in Christ Jesus, when this earth ends, you don't end. For you, there's no eternity like that. In quote, are you getting my point? But what God is doing is going around raking his own portion. No, it's all over the scriptures. It's called harvest. You separate the wheat from the chaff. You burn the chaff with what? Unquenchable fire. In everything, there's your portion. You go to your farm, you farm corn, then when it matures, you remove the cob, break off the back. Then you shell the corn from the cob, and all of that becomes fuel for the fire. What concerns you? The grain. Do you get my point? What do you call corn, the seed, those corns, what do you call them? Is it grain? It's grain, Abby? Yes. And everything, that's where it is. You know, there's your portion in everything. On this earth, the Lord's portion is his people. Every other thing is being burnt, even if they are human. The Lord's portion is his people. Please don't forget it. That's fact. What I've told you is fact. When you are preaching the gospel, you are telling people, join the Lord's portion. Don't be amongst. No, he talks about wheat and what? Tares. It's the same thing. The time of the harvest, they separate the wheat from the tares. What do they do with the tares? They burn them with unquenchable fire. It's the way it works. There's no other way. It's not, we're not trying to be sentimental, feel too good ourselves. Eh? You know, the earth will end. You know, everything we are using now, physical, my rings, my watch, my clothes, my skin, my body, we end with it. But I will be changed. That's what the Bible says. This corruption will take on what? Incorruption. There will be... Oh, where was I preaching? Okay, yes, that was in TCC. I was preaching, I said, listen, when Paul said it, let me explain something to you about Paul. Okay, let me just explain this. I've never said this one here before. There are prophets and there are teachers. That's how the Bible really is, okay? There are prophets and there are teachers. Prophets, I'm a teacher, all right? Contrary to what Dami told people behind my back. Don't worry. My wife told me what you said when I was not around. And all those who laughed with him are ahead. So. Now, in your scriptures, all right, teachers, their job is to expound
what the foundational prophets saw. The prophets, they see. The teachers explain. What am I going to say? You see, you read your Bible, all right? Almost everybody, even Luke, that it was not a personal witness, only recorded eyewitness accounts. Matthew, eyewitness account. Mark, eyewitness account of Peter, all right? Luke, a research account, compiling eyewitness accounts. John, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we saw, which our hands handled. That's what he wrote, both in the epistles and in the gospels. The whole thing, Paul, of course, Peter, James, John, they knew Jesus Christ. Paul encountered the Jesus after resurrection. There was nothing, Paul didn't just like this. Jesus came, dragged the seat, sat down. Paul, you have your papyrus there, start, write. On the night I was betrayed, this was what happened. He told him. Where I'm going is that the Paul that was writing wasn't writing what you and I would call understanding. He was writing what the Bible calls apocalypsis, revelation, things that were unveiled that he saw. So when he said that that he was groaning not to be unclothed, but to be clothed with, he had seen it before. When he was describing resurrection body, he had seen. You know, I'm talking and just saying, I have an understanding. There's something the Lord just revealed to me right now. And you are reading the Bible. Forget that thing. Paul, he saw the shelf where they kept them. He saw it walk. He saw people who bought it, you know, move. You know, Bill Gates wrote a book, Business at the Speed of what? Thought. Yes. What he did not realize is in the scriptures, movement at the speed of thought. Those with resurrection body, they move with the speed of thought. You should be in Abakiliki, and then they are there. John was not teaching. Paul was not. It is people like us, teachers, that now read that. Do you get my point? When those prophets wrote, they were not writing things they understood. They wrote things that they saw. So when we're talking about resurrection, but it's not a lie. It's not imagination. No. It's fact. Men saw this. They wrote them. In fact, you know, Paul had a problem in that he saw more than he was allowed to write. When a man said, to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, you think he was joking? Do you get my point? It's like you go for NYC. I mean, I won't go house. It's not there. Do you get my point? They do a Luther continuum. You look. Toilet, 100 people using one pit latrine. Well, all the rooms in your father's house. You know what I'm going to say? And suit. You know, like, you don't even flush the toilet. They just get up. Toilet takes care of itself. I mean, there's some things in this life they deal and they are good. They just leave it like that. They'll still melt. It's painful, but. So, I mean, what I'm going is that you find all of this in your father's house back home. They now say, because you're a Nigerian grad, you should go and do NYS. You reach there. They now preach to you that you have to learn to endure. Now, put to one rural place. You know how you'll be groaning. That's where I'm going. Yeah, you're a nice guy. You can endure hardship. You know, there's band A, there's band F, that's band flicker, there's band nothing. You're not even connected to any grid. That's why they told you to go and serve. They finally managed to give you one solar panel that works, no battery. So you charge your phone during the day. Ah! You know, the way you, every day you're looking like how many days before you go home. You are groaning. Not as if you don't like NYSC. But you want to be clothed with your father's house. Where you won't have so many people cooking up to use a pit latrine. Do you get my point? Yes, that's what you are groaning for. It's not as if you're a bad person. Do you get my point? So now somebody, nah, but I won't go out. Say, why? Say, my house is that. And person says, hey, why? What are you deceiving us? You know, you're looking like, what are you talking about? To depart and leave NYSC and be with my father is far better. Say, but because I'm working for this rural clinic, I will stay here. Is that what Paul said? Yes. Exactly what Paul said. But why I'm telling the story is that he had sin. It wasn't. You know, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If it was not so, I would not have told you. See, Paul saw that place. He said, I saw some things that a man is not allowed to talk about, to utter.
Even if I were to utter them, how will I explain? You can't even, there's nothing to use to reference it. After when they talk about gold in heaven, I said, look, understand the problem in that expression. It can't be. Just the person describing, that's the best he had to explain to you what's happening over there. People of God, that is a fact concerning the preaching of Christ Jesus. You are telling people that the lost portion is his people. You come and join the lost portion. That's what you are saying. Because anyone that is not known by Christ, whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will be cast with Satan and everything into the lake of fire. That fire that burns with fire that cannot be quenched. Fact. So, where I'm going is that so everything that our focus should be on is that which endures into eternity. So God says, we are the salt of the earth. That is, for me to be able to gather up my portion, I need to tie myself not to destroy the earth because of its wickedness. Because you don't understand, spiritual things work interestingly. Like, what's the name of that place that Jonah went to? Nineveh. God was going to destroy Nineveh, true or false? But still, I acknowledge one thing to Jonah, that there are many people inside there that do not know their left from their right. Yet the sins of the other people were enough. The sins of the fathers, the mothers, the adults were enough to destroy the youth, the young ones, the children who did not know their left from their right. They were going to get destroyed. So sometimes God says, listen, let me preserve the earth for that reason, so we can harvest from amongst those people. So he says, you are the salt of the earth. So anytime I see the people in Enugu, they've done so much evil against me. And the only righteous thing for me to do is to destroy them all. With their property, with their young ones, with everything. Then I send my angels out, and they say, Lord, what's the first thing we do? Say, go and count those who are groaning because of the iniquity in the land. Go and count those who do not participate in the iniquity in the land. Go and count them for me. Then they go and count. And they return a number to him. And the son says, that is enough to preserve the land. I say, give them 10 more years. That's the way this life works. See, what I've told is really what works. Sometimes you see some places, but God says, I know what I'm doing. See, the Bible says, like that one we quote all the time, from Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter, there's not like you, O Lord. Chapter 10, yes. It said, when their judgment comes, they will perish. There's a time of judgment. Sometimes you see the gods, they're just flourishing. He said, their judgment has not yet come. Everything has a time. Everything has a time. You'll be surprised. Ah, what is it? God say, look. And listen, before you run into Sodom and Gomorrah, be sure that the judgment is not on the way. Now, I may be wrong. I don't know the amount of salt that's keeping them, but there are countries on this that say, I know they go. See, it's very far. I say, I know they go. I just look over my shoulder. Anytime I hear pain, I check whether the angels keep. That's what I'll be checking. I say, leave me. I'm not going. Because beautiful places may be close to judgment. And when their judgment comes, they will perish. That's where this life is. So, what I've told you is just the word of God. I hope you're getting my point. All right. So this is what God does. He says, okay, so what do I do so I can reap my harvest in due season? I keep salt there. What's the job of salt? Salt is to make sure I don't destroy the place out of anger, out of reaction, because it happens. That's why there's a prayer. Don't discipline me in your anger. Because sometimes God, if he responds in anger, pray that prayer, you know. Go and, when you see the book of Psalms, read it for yourself. When David said, Lord, don't discipline me in your anger. Say, Lord, don't discipline me in your anger. Because if you do, I will disappear. it's a vital prayer. So God said, what is the hope? It is the salt that I kept in there. They are always the reason why I don't destroy a place. They are the ones that Abraham helped us to understand when he and God discussed and said, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? He said, far be it from you to do wickedly. God said, I know. All right? You are the righteous judge. You are the judge of this whole earth. You wouldn't do that. God said, I know.
So Abraham said, all right, what if we find 50 righteous people? The Lord said, no problem. I will spare the place. What if we find 45? I will spare the place. Okay, sorry, Lord, I'm so sorry. Can I ask? He kept on asking until he got to 10. People say, why didn't he ask for 5? If you can say that, you also say, why didn't he ask for 1? I know you probably stop at 1. But why did he stop at 10? I'll tell you. The number of possibilities. Oswald Chambers will tell you that it's a restrictive power, restraining power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit did not allow him to go below that. It's possible. I say, now this is nothing, I'm not dogmatic about this, I'm just my own explanation. That even if he did, and the Lord said no, it would not have been recorded for us, likely. What I'm trying to say, possibly he did. And God said, Abraham, you save check up. The best I can do is 10. It is possible that narrative happened, but there was no need to record it. That's one. All right? The second one is one this man said, Sir Chambers, that the Holy Spirit said, don't bother going further. It stopped him there. One man said it was poor calculation on Abraham's part. But let's not go into the details. He said that Abraham thought between Lot and this and they will attain 10. I don't think so. I think it's one of these other two things that I have said. But the point I'm making is that it had to be 10, nothing less. It had to be 10 or nothing less. Please, this is very important for me to emphasize. It had to be 10. It could not be 9. They did not find 10 and you saw the outcome. Many places in Nigeria have suffered because God didn't find the required number. Many places have suffered because he did not find the required number. Sometimes it's villages. And the judgment comes different ways. I won't discuss it now. Some of this reading the news that get you angry is nothing but judgment. There are about 4 or 5 ways that God's judgment comes. Natural disasters, pestilence, sword. Yes. Men killing themselves. Famine. How many have I counted? 4, yes. I think there are 4. 4 of, yeah, 5th one, wild beasts. Where are your Bible? Those are the 5 ways you fight. Sword. That's people fighting and all of that. Or intercommunal clashes, you know, civil war inside the place, invasion from outside. That's one. Then pestilence. Disease just strikes. Smallpox walks in, wipes everybody out. Plague comes in, wipes everybody out. Ebola walks in, takes everybody out. The ones that don't die, they run. Yeah, you know that, that's it. They hear the rumor and then they run away. The place becomes desolate. Sometimes it's permanently desolate or sometimes they are replaced. That's one way. So we mentioned two, right? War, that's sword. Bible calls it sword. Pestilence, yeah. Then natural disasters, which is what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Natural disasters. Look, the tsunami of Bandar Aceh, 2003. It wiped out many islands. They don't exist anymore. Till today that me and you are talking. They're not there again. Natural disasters. Famine. And then last of all, wild beasts. We don't see much of that these days. But these things happen. And many times, a combination. God will send them. God read Revelation. They come in waves. One after the other. One after the other. That's what happens. Now, why am I emphasizing all of this, people of God? For you to know how critical salt is. How crucial salt is. What is salt? Just 2 things typify salt. One, they don't participate in the iniquity in the land. And 2, they groan and intercede because of the iniquity that's in the land. That's all. That's what makes you salt. That's all. There's nothing else. They are the people of God, of course, I should qualify that. They, number one, they do not participate in the iniquity in the land. And then they groan and trouble themselves because of the iniquity that's inside the land. That is what salt is. And God is always counting. Let me say something salt must do. People of God, you must learn to invoke the judgment of God against unrighteousness. I don't have time to talk about all of that now. You must learn to invoke the judgment of God against unrighteousness. There are many reasons. One, so that people will not be tempted. You know, because, see, one major thing that Satan does is to deplete the saltness. How does it deplete temptations? Pressure.
You think you're the only one? Everybody is doing it. You're the only one. You want to die of hunger? Listen, if you don't, people don't understand what they really are fighting, they easily fall for temptations. They think it's about money and let me go to heaven later. No. People are being counted. The question is that, can you be counted? Can you be counted? If you're a pastor, look, pastors are being counted. And I can tell you just one thing, God is counting in pastors. It's not two things, it's one. Okay, one primary thing. It's not whether you eat money. You know, bribery is not good. Is it good?
Yes, sir.
But that's not what they are counting in pastors. Everybody has their own core area. There are many things people do, you know. Everybody has this problem. But one thing God is counting in pastors is, okay, that message you preached, why? That's all. Why? Somebody don't steal. They don't commit adultery. But every message they preach is targeted as something that they want. They're as bad as the ones that steal and commit adultery. Why? Because when you're counting preachers, the thing God counts is not what he's counting somewhere else. I'm serious. It's not that. Look, the man is a stupid man. That's how he behaves. God, he overlooks a lot of the things. But just one area, he counts. Okay, that program you organize, what is it for? He said he wants to collect money. That's why he gathered God's people from their homes every day. Every night for 5 days. Because just wipe him off. They just wipe. See this guy? He's a really nonsense guy. Well, you don't know. You know why? He says, after all, the money, what do we need it for? It's not for to advance the gospel. Because he says, I told you that I'm broke, Abby. Then he wants to preach one day. Maybe one of his pastors wants to resign. Now preach a message about he that endures till the end. Some people started in this ministry. I want all of you to understand something. There's something. If you began, all of this preaching is so that when Pastor Dami says he's going tomorrow, nobody will follow him. You have been looking at Steve. He wants to go and start his own church. And the guy has been, people here, they like him. He preaches, I'll start explaining that. Look, if there is a head and you detach, you become headless. There's a cover. This guy, he doesn't steal money. Does he commit adultery? They've never come to report him to the deacons that pastor was touching one woman. Never. But God still wipes him off. Why? When he's counting pastors, what he's counting is different. You mounted a pulpit for your own agenda. Abba. You saw the video that one of our guys did when he went to court. How many of you have seen it? It's trending now ahead on social media. I don't want to talk about it in details. Go and watch the video. If you're a magistrate, that's what God is counting. God is not counting magistrates that commit adultery in their village. It doesn't really count. Look, is adultery good? When it comes to court, what is counting is different. See, that judgment you give. There's one magistrate that gave a judgment against one of our brothers in Benin some time ago. What was her reason? That government is the one that brought the case. So she could not rule against government. It had to do with environmental issues. So they went inspecting from business premise to business premise. When those guys finished, the man said, okay. And everything was okay. And that's okay. Anything for us? The guy said no. So that guy went and shut down their facility. That they broke one rule after the other. They now dragged their facility to the magistrate. And they brought all the evidence to show that the guy was lying. After they had lost business for a number of days, time to rule. Magistrate said, government talk this. She said it openly. So she ruled against my guys. And then I said, no, this matter is going to the High Court. When I heard that story, I said, this magistrate, do you have any plan for long life? I don't think you do. Let me tell you one word in the scripture that is used for judges and magistrates is God's. Why do you judge unrighteously, O ye gods? There's a time in Nigeria they said Supreme Court justice was found, if you remember when DSS read some of it, how many people remember that story? Some of our brothers, okay, being a lawyer, they were so agitated, separation of powers. How could they? I said, my brother, come.
You heard the gods were bribed. This is how you are responding? I said, no. I'm not saying your response is totally, the facts you are giving. I said, but what should bother you? Is it true that the gods are taking bribes? That's what the Bible calls them. It calls the judges gods. So when God steps into the judiciary, it just looks at, they say, sir, this man has 7 wives. Say, what thing concern me? Say, I'm in high court. Number of wives he has is not my problem. Give me the last 10 cases he ruled on. This one was so clear that this man was innocent. Why is the man in prison? Said they gave him 10 million, sir. I said, good. This man was supposed to be in prison. Why is he released? He says his wife's brother. I said, okay. They counted. So 10 judgments, only one seems to have head. 9 out of 10. I said, good one. That one, just strike him down. Strike him down. Yeah, that's what God does. In case you don't know, that's what he does. Listen, Christians, bear this in mind. Anything you are involved in, just know you are being counted. Are you a university lecturer? Because every mark you give, you go explain. Oh, now you'll be a lecturer for you. Every mark you give, you go explain. This one got 52. This one got 71. The two of them look like they wrote the same thing. This one bought your hand out. This one did not buy. Write it. So, handout purchase now is converted to marks. Which principle of righteousness is that? Please, when you are preaching it, preach these things to people. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God judges. Mr. Lecturer, he is coming. You sell handout, then you award mark. Thus says the Lord, I shall punish thee, and I shall do it severely. You are a policeman. You detain people for 5 minutes longer than you should because of money. Thus says the Lord, I shall punish thee, and I shall do it severely. Pastor, you have finished preparing the message. Why is it changing? Because your enemy entered church. What do you call enemy anyway? It's a guy that's about to leave. One guy said that, let their wives become widows because they want to leave his church. Let their if you see cause, because they left the church. Not Nigeria, that was in Ghana. If you're in Ghana, it's not your bro for that side. In Nigeria, our own, they're different. What we preach is that nobody can leave this ministry and succeed. This ministry has a special grace. Once you leave, you enter disgrace. That's how we rule this country. Salt! That's the point I'm making. When salt loses its savor, that is when judgment comes against the land. Let me tell people something there. Christians, please pray for this nation. I like the way when our brother Jonathan was doing prayer earlier, he was saying Nigeria needs the mercy of God. We need the mercy of God. We do. Because if you understand what they call iniquity, there's a kind of wickedness you see. You know that this land must be experienced. It's mercy that's keeping the land. And what I'm just saying, if you're a child of God, is that God is counting. If there are not enough salt, there's no intercession that will hold the land. When Abraham prayed for the land, God said, look, it's a deal. Let's count. What intercession did was to reduce the number that's required to the barest minimum, 10. And that does not wipe out the judgment. He only suspends it. Because this 10 can hold it for 1 year, for 2 years, for maybe 10 years. I shall return in 10 years. I expect to find 1,000. If I come in 10 years and I don't find 1,000, I give 1 more year. Then I see there's no progress in this place. And the best I will do is to extract the salt and wipe the whole place out. That's the best I can. And that's what he does all the time. Hey, people of God, that's what he does till today. We're talking about prayer, right? Let me now get back to it, down to it. So what I'm talking about, keeping your salt pure. How do you keep your salt pure? Because this life is full of what? Temptations. There's one song we learned when we were children. Starting my boy on life's journey. How many people remember that song? Oh, that's it, remember. How many people know this song? I learned this song when I was in primary school. That's a long time ago. He said, you will meet 1,000 temptations. Each city with evil is rife. He said, this world is a stage of something. He said, there's danger wherever you go. He said, but anytime you are faced with a temptation, he ended with, have courage, my boy, to say no. That's how the song ended. I don't know if you know the song. Have courage, my boy, to say no. All of you are looking like, where is that from? Is that Beatles? It's a very old. I learned this in primary school. And in case you want to know, I left primary school in 1979. Don't bother doing the arithmetic. It's hard. That's when I left primary school. Have courage, my boy. Have courage, my boy, to say no. You must have courage to say no. Because the world is full of temptations. So each city with evil is rife. Yeah, that's how the song goes. I've forgotten some of the lines, but I remember those ones. What am I saying to Christians? Have courage to say what? No. It's important. Now, back to where we began, which is that what do we do with prayer? Sometimes we are so focused on the glitter, trying to get our portion of the glitter of the world. We don't know the primary thing is to use it to tap courage to say no. To use it to tap courage to say no to temptations. You know, the other day I preached here about Mount Ebal. Remember Mount Ebal? Many of us like Mount Gerizim. We don't go to Mount Ebal. On Gerizim, there's the blessings. It shall be well with you. You will live long, you shall not die. Your wife will multiply. Your goods will multiply. In Jesus' name, amen. But, hey, there are curses. No, no, no. In Christ Jesus, I've been redeemed from the curse. No. Honestly, you are not redeemed from that curse, really. What I'm going to say is that the soul that sins still dies. You are redeemed from the curse of the past sins. You are redeemed from the ancestral curses. You are redeemed from the law as a curse. What I mean is that if you break certain laws, those laws don't apply to you now, so you're automatically redeemed from them. But, there are precepts of God. Anyone who continues in the works of the flesh will not inherit the kingdom. You are not reading from that one. So what do we do? We mount Mount Ebal. And there is part of prayer. Or at least what they call prayer-like activities. And you declare, say, Lord, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. All mongers and adulterers, you will judge. Father God, don't judge me. So, I will not be an adulterer. Bam. I hope you're getting my point. So that's it. We mount Mount Ebal. You get my point? What do we do on Mount Ebal? I'll tell you. It's simply to sit down and tell yourself the consequences of iniquity. You rehearse it. You know, you go over it. This will want to bribe me so that I will rule that this man is guilty when he's innocent. God forbid that, you know. So all my children will be confused the rest of their lives, have you? Say, God forbid. I will never let that happen to me. So that my destiny will not be accomplished, eh? So that I will die before my time, eh? So that God will not take me and cast me into hellfire. Ah! Can you see? You repeated some 10... Look, listen. When you tell yourself things like that, you know what? You will not steal. But if you go around just... You're always on Mount Gerizim. You will steal. Yeah, you start quoting scriptures like the wealth of the wicked is yours for the taking. There's a coming wealth transfer. Wealth transfer. All goods are perfect. These gifts come from above. Hallelujah. That's all you are confessing. You go thief. See, you will steal. You won't plan to. You just get up one day, you have stolen. Just check your pocket. Stolen goods inside. But if you tell yourself the curse of the Lord is in the house of the thief, say the thief cannot prosper. You just keep repeating stuff like that. Say the one that takes a bribe to pervert justice, evil will not depart from his house. The one you say things like that, when they say, come and take a bribe, you say, ah. See, this is my house. Good is inside. I don't want evil inside there. You have a serious motivation for doing what is right. And the Bible says that draw near to what? The throne of grace. What? Why? To obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, we read that from Hebrews chapter 4. What was it telling us? It's simple. What's the time of need? It's not when you need money. It's the time of what? Temptation. It is when you are being tempted to do that which is wrong. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, let me end it with this. I don't want to keep us for too long. All right? God does not accept excuses for iniquity. What did I say?
God does not accept excuses for iniquity.
What do I mean by excuses? You know, that time when they offered me the money, it was a time that my children just came and said, you know, they were supposed to pay, you know, otherwise the next day, they didn't pay by that day, they will not write that first semester exams, and I had not yet finished the payment, and this, so God said, okay, so go on. So that was why I forged the election result, and I took the money. I said, okay, so what are you trying to say? God, you should understand. Say, wait, so your children can't stay at home? What about children that don't go to school? See, God doesn't understand. You know, now I need to say this, because I want to close. You know the problem of corruption in Nigeria? The church. Thank you. God bless you. That's all. I thought I was in Sokoto, I said something. I was telling the ministers gathered were eating. That I can hide corruption in Nigeria in two years. Now, I wasn't saying by my power, I'm not saying I'll go and become chairman of EFCC and the head of ICPC. That's not what I meant. What I meant is that we use the word of God and infuse the body of Christ. I said, I'll write this Mount Ebal things, like I'll tell you about. I'll go to Mount Ebal and write a set of confessions from Mount Ebal. You know what Mount Ebal is? Curses on corruption. And I'll take it to CAN. CAN is Christian Association of Nigeria, made up of churches, Christians generally, all right? And I'll go to PFN, which is Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria, and give to the pastors. And I'll tell them every Sunday, they should just read it out and let the people of God say, Amen. I said, if we do that, at the end of 2 years, corruption in Nigeria will have gone down, will have disappeared to where it's supposed to be hiding. All the men are laughing at me. Why is they laughing? They say, Pastor Barki, if Khan can agree with you, you don't have to go that far. That is, your problem is not the Christians. Say, let the leaders in Khan agree for that letter. That, let them even just read it amongst themselves. Now, these are men of God. People talking to me. They were laughing at me. They said, look at you. That if the men you want to give it to will even agree to read it for themselves. You've had this made now. I said, what? They said, relax. That the real problem is what you have just called. Now, what am I going to say? See, what are we supposed to do with prayer? People of God, I'm serious about this. All right? One major thing prayer is supposed to be used for is for us to use it to cleanse ourselves of all defilement. We use it too much for things that don't, because the cleansed soul will cross into eternity. Cleansed. See, there's one reason why God told the cherubim, remember the cherubim that blocked the entrance into the garden? What was the reason? He said, drive them out. Why? So that they will not have access to the tree of life, eat of it, and live forever. The question is, why shouldn't they live forever? Because they were going to live forever in a corrupt state. What am I going to say? The state of the soul lives forever. I don't know where you're getting my point. That is, when the time comes and you take of that tree of life and you eat of it, that is why he says, look at it. Please quickly open to it. Galatians chapter 5. I need to read this. Galatians chapter 5, please. Quickly. The problem we have, like I said, is we use our prayer life too much for things that don't matter. Things that don't endure into eternity. Now, for time's sake, I won't read everything. I'll just read from verse 16, then jump till I get to verse 21. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit sets its desire against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Now it now goes to verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality. Please follow this carefully. immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this. Now, this is what I say you should pay attention to. And things like this, of which I forewarn you, that is, I'm warning you now, just as I have forewarned you, that is, in past times, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Please bear it in mind. He said, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's a kind of life you have that will not allow you go into the kingdom. We talked about earlier with the resurrection body. No, we're talking about that. You know why? Because such, he said, in that place, righteousness does what? Dwells. Do you get my point? So, we won't like it, but it's the truth. If you don't get these things out of your life, you ain't going there. Did I write that? See, in case you don't know, I downloaded this Bible. I did not upload it. I did not write it. And if it's those, if they say, I bought this Bible. Point is that I did not write that. Paul said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. So you know there's a kingdom he's talking about. Before we used to think we're just talking about a portion of this earth. There's a manifestation of the kingdom on the earth. Quite all right. But listen to me. See, there's a reason why people came to Jesus Christ and said, did we not cast out demons in your name? And he said, I never knew you. People have asked me before, say, okay, how? Okay, the people were deceived. You know they were deceived. No, were they not deceived? You know what it means to be deceived? That they thought they were right, but they were wrong. They thought they were right, but they were wrong. Which means that they thought they were right. Did you catch what I said there? That if you had seen them a week before, they would have said, there's no problem. They are going to heaven by and by. Yes. So somebody asked me, okay, what could they have done? That listen now, these people now, they are deceived. How will you know you are not deceived? Yeah, because if you are deceived, and you know, you are not deceived. Those who are deceived don't know they are deceived. They think they are right. So the question is, that how will you know you are not deceived? Anytime I get that question, me, I ask myself, okay, just first, let's be sure you are not deceived. Because you see, you can be there telling everybody, see, make sure you are not deceived though. Meanwhile, you saying it, you are deceived. So I told, I had to reason. How? Aha! Jesus gave him the answer. Get away from me. You do what? Workers of iniquity. I said, what kind of thing are you working? At least that one is easy enough. I'm not saying you can't be deceived in, because I've seen people who can be deceived even in that one. Say, look, and it's a very common deception going on in the body of Christ now. It's called the hyper grace doctrine. You want to hear the truth? That doctrine is pure deception. It's a platform for deception. People think they've discovered grace. All they have discovered is a lie. Hey, it's so painful. You know what they call hyper grace doctrine? In case you do not know, I'll tell you what it means. They are the ones that tell you that no matter what you do, you can never, your name can never be wiped out of the book of life. I said, but why did Jesus say that I will not erase your name? Is it confused? He said, if you do that, I will not erase your name. They said, the name cannot be erased. I said, but he said, he gave a condition so he does not do it. Is he okay? Is he not? Doesn't understand the grammar? What does it say? For one day, my wife was in the chat group, they were discussing it. My wife now quoted that particular scripture, Hebrews chapter 6. There are those who are once enlightened, after that, they cannot be renewed to repent and all that. He said, but the Bible says, he said, look, let's not argue. It'd be as if I'm showing us the scripture. He said, no, show off. Show it off. Help us. We don't know. The person didn't have an answer. Why did Peter say, their latter end becomes worse than the beginning. If they were still saved, why are we deceiving ourselves? The hyper grace doctrine is the one that says that God never does anything, but only the devil does. There's one I heard somebody say recently. Were you the one that, you were the one teaching us here now? That one man told you that when the Lord kills, the Lord makes alive. Who was arguing with the person? Is you now. Why are you not doing like, don't know the people who teach wrong doctrines? He said that the lock is, he said, okay. You now show the person that is 1 Samuel chapter 2. That's in the Bible. He said, okay, check. It's a woman that said it. Yeah, because Hannah was prophesying. Were you the one that told us? Okay, Jonathan, you were the one. Yeah, thank you. So it's not you really. Your smile was correct. That's it. It's in the Bible now. The person said, okay, check it. It was a woman that prophesied it. It's not God. You know, the arguments, you don't even know where to start from now. Because he's right, it's a woman that said it. But the inference is wrong. You don't even know how to start. The guy has made up his mind, he doesn't want to believe. That is a current deceptive platform that is going around. It's a platform of deception. You know why it is? Because at the end of the day, the only thing people can use to bring themselves to correction has been nullified. Yeah, that's it. Because the only thing you will have used to know that you're not doing right is your work of iniquity. And they've now told you, look, that word, don't worry about it. It's under the blood. See, Derek Prince said something. He said, the worst thing God can do to you is to give you over to deception. So actually, I prayed it then. I still pray once in a while. I said, God, please, you know, say, you say it's mindful that we're above flesh, right? That's part, me, I'm one of them. Can I just beg you, what, no matter what happens, can you just spare me deception? You can knock my head though. That's fine. You can do all that thing, but please, do not hand me over to deception. Because, brethren, one day Jesus is coming, no? Either he comes physically, or you go and meet him, because you depart and be with the Lord. Do you get my point? And you will give account for what you did with your life. Don't let anybody lie to you. So if we find ourselves walking in the deeds of the flesh, that's where I'm going with this whole talk. That is when we start praying. I hope you're getting my point. Last week, they brought money in the office. No, when they first started, they didn't used to take. Then, one day, one man became our new president and said, subsidy is gone. Then fuel price went up. And you realize that God knew that fuel price was going to go up. So the money they now brought for you is God's answer to the disappearance of subsidy. You start rationalizing it. If I take this money, I was going to do it anyway. So taking the money, really, it doesn't matter. For you know, after 1 year, a regular collector. And your students are talking behind your back, you don't know. Say, Pastor, do they collect though? And they used to call you Pastor before. Say, you didn't do that test? No. Go and greet Pastor. They give her an envelope. Good afternoon, sir. Yes, sir. I just said, let me come and greet you. I heard that last week was your wife's birthday. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. They slipped 20K in the envelope. Say, thank you, sir. But sir, you know, I was not around for last week's test. Oh, don't worry about it, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. But you did your other test, right? I'll just record it for the two. Now, so they take start. Before you know what's happening, they come and say, sir, they say I failed. That means I will not have extra semester. If you don't want extra semester, just 200,000 there, you know. You put it there and they change it. You don't pass. But don't worry, you can go. Of course, you will build the house. It will collapse on you, but at least you built it first. But so that you don't get to that point, that's the point we're making. As soon as you see yourself begin to drift. Eh? One day, there's one story, my pastor is always talking about me. That I say I changed certain things in my life because I caught myself lying twice. And actually, it was a sister I was showing interest in. And I lied twice. Just two times. If I tell you what the lies are, you say, oh God, that one I lie. I said, for me, it's a lie. For you, it may not have been a lie, but for me, it's a lie. When my wife met me, say, you talk too much. I said, no, I don't want to lie. This, there's a reason why I said everything. What didn't I tell her? She said, you say things I did not ask. I said, it doesn't matter. Let me tell you first. So in case you don't like me, just give me space. Just tell me, don't come here again. I won't come. Hey, I'm not one of those guys that they tell you, don't come again, you go again. Some of you guys, they behave like fools. They tell you not to come, you still go. If a woman says, don't come again, don't go again. What is wrong with you? Look for any single man around you. They should know if a woman says, don't come again, don't go again. I hope you're getting my point. I tell my wife that If she had ever told me that, maybe I called their house and said, hello, who is this? Bank, which bank is that? I would never have called again. Yeah. The Lord is good. Let's leave it like that.
As I just come and said, tell you lie twice. What I call lie, if I told you, you'd be like, Pastor, how can that be a lie? Because of time, I won't bother telling you what I called a lie. It was not. And every person will hear it. We say it's not a lie now. I say, but I know Banky, that is not true.
I don't know. Do you get my point? Is that maybe you're saying that, I can't remember. I won't give you details now, but something like maybe I'm using a cheap phone. So when you buy an expensive phone, those ones are not as good as they look. Did you hear what I said? What's the lie in it? They're not as good as they look. But it's not really, nothing is really as good as it looks, really. You know what I'm saying?
But the real reason why I didn't buy is I couldn't afford it. There was no money. Now, tell me the problem with a Samsung screen. Meanwhile, you know. It's not the reason why you didn't buy. It's because you can't even buy that screen. So, don't. Now, you're trying to sound like, no. Say, this is my phone now. The reason why I use it now, because the battery can last 4 days. Any phone that the battery can last 4 days is not smart. It's a mobile phone. How can you say that? It's a mobile phone. You're not been saying things. Meanwhile, you know the real reason. The real reason from the bottom of your heart is that you went to the shop. They told them the price. They had to resuscitate you. Just from hearing the price of the phone. Nonsense. I found myself doing something like that only twice. I said, no, I'm going to pray. Hey, I'm going to pray. Mark doesn't lie like this. I don't lie like this. No. And know the truth? The lie I told was not even one tenth as bad as this. Yeah, it wasn't even one tenth as bad as this one. And I said, no, I know me now. I don't talk like this. I said, don't talk like this. No. I don't show off. I don't pretend I'm what I am not. God helped me with that long ago. I found myself trying to pretend like I'm what I am not. I said, no, it's time to pray. In fact, there's a scripture I quoted. It said, this is not the place of your rest, for it is polluted. Yeah, you're getting defiled. No! When is that getting comfortable where you normally wouldn't be comfortable? Time to pray. Bow your heads. Time to pray. You're going to take a few minutes and say, Lord, this salt must not be defiled. That's what prayer is about. That this salt must not be defiled. This salt must not, because without the salt being pure, remember, God is trying to gather his own portion and to sustain everything, he has to put out the salt. And many times once the salt has been defiled, we reduce the weapons of heaven. We reduce the people on the Lord's side. So take a moment and pray for yourself. You need to pray. You need to pray. You need to pray. Say, Lord, this my salt will not be defiled. No impurity. Now, can you just take another minute and specifically deal with certain things? Specifically deal with certain things in your life. Specifically handle certain areas. Every time the word of God comes to you, it's commanding obedience. If you find you have not been obeying it to the fullest, time to pray. If you find you have not been obeying it to the fullness of it, then it is time to pray. Not time to make excuses. Not time to make excuses. It's time to pray. The reason is because you want yourself to be, like we said, countable. You want to be amongst those that they count. The one that is counted. The one that is counted. That's what you want. That's just your purpose. It's not about personal prosperity. It's not about personal, you know, it's just that you say, look, God, when you, like they say, remember me, O God, when you come to collect your people, you want to be amongst those that he will remember. When the angels will be going up and down,
And God, because God said, go and mark all those who sigh and groan because of the iniquity that is in the land. You want to be amongst those that will be marked. That's what we are talking about. That's what we are talking about. Nobody's talking about, you just want to prosper. No. We are saying that when God says it is time to mark people, when he says go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of men who sigh and groan over all the abominations that are being committed in his midst. That mark, you want to be able to bear it. That's what he has said. Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. That statement is crucial. Nothing is what he said. Nothing. The prince of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. He has nothing. The prince of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. Satan cannot jump on people if he has nothing to hold. How do we ensure he has nothing to hold? That's what we are talking about. He said, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive help, obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What's the time of need? When the trials of life, when the temptations of life come to you, That's why I say, take time out now. Just deal with some things in your personal life. See, pressures are out there. That's what prayer is there for. Because the pressures come to tempt us. That's just what pressure is about. To tempt us into doing that which God does not want us to do. That which will disqualify us from eating of that tree of life. That's what you need to do. To use prayer to remove, to strengthen yourself against the pressures. No, like I was saying to you earlier, sometimes people say, Pastor Banks, that's people relocating. I've told you, I don't care. I don't know you. But I always say, when you want to do that, ask yourself, what am I doing? Am I abandoning the purpose of God? Or what I'm doing is to further the purpose of God? Now, why am I talking about it now? Why do people do things that they're not supposed to do? It's pressure. Now, if you are listening to me and you're under that pressure, you need to just come, just hand it over to the Lord. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, this is the pressure. I feel like where I am right now, it's not time to leave. It's not just about relocating out of the country. Sometimes it's a job. Sometimes it's a church. There are different things. They are pressures. Sometimes it's business opportunities. Take this or take that. There was a time I had that kind of opportunity. Two things opened in front of me, both of which I wanted, but one of them was an open door of ministry. I said, God, but look at this other one. What do we do? I sought counsel from a friend of mine. I knew what he would say. I took strength from it. Sometimes there is nobody to even counsel you. Then you get on your knees and say, Lord, I don't want to miss your purpose for my life. It's an important prayer just to say to the Lord, your purpose for my life, I don't want to miss it. Your purpose for my life, I don't want to miss it. Your purpose for my life, I don't want to. We're not discussing money now. This one will pray me more. This one will not pray. No. We're not even discussing money. We're just saying, Lord, there's a purpose, Abby. And that I will do. Nevertheless, not my will, not my comfort, but your purpose be done. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O my God. Say to him again. That's what prayer is. Prayer is not, God, today I must have food. No. These are things that are more fundamental. They are more important. Things that have to do with eternity. People ask me, how do you get this? I pray about it. As I tell you, the audience say, I heard a voice. Forget voices. That voices can deceive you. The Lord said to me, leave that thing first. Whatever you hear, when your heart is not fully consecrated, it's inaccurate. I will say that again. Whatever you hear, when your heart is not fully consecrated, it is inaccurate. It is only
when your heart is fully consecrated, that the voice of God can come to you in accuracy. So you can never stop praying to fully consecrate your heart. You can't. You can never stop praying to fully consecrate your heart. Say to the Lord again, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. You need to say that to the Lord. Say to him, Lord, I don't want to be where you don't want me to be. I don't want to be where you do not ordain, where you have not ordained that I should be. I don't want to be there. I don't care how much prosperity material is coming from there. If it's not where you want me to be, let me not be there, please. Say, Lord, I want to fulfill your will for my life. Pray another prayer. Say, Lord, I don't want to be amongst those who give a bad testimony to your name. He said, let those who hope in you not be ashamed because of me. It's an important prayer. It's an important prayer.
Let's just say, Lord, I want to be in the center of your will at all times, in the center of your purpose. Purify me and make me whole. Lord, purify me and make me whole. Lord, purify me and make me whole. Let me be useful to you. A vessel, Lord, to honor, purified and made fit for the master's use. Say, Lord, cleanse me. Make me whole. In the name of Jesus. Ask for help. Say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me to be faithful. Help me to remember to run back to you. Help me to stand strong in your presence. Help me to continue to drink of your spirit. Say, Lord, help me. Help me to respond to your calling upon my life. Help me to drink of your word continually. Help me to stand faithful, to stand strong. Help me to run the race you have set before me. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name, eternal Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.